بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 24th of April in the year 2024 and Alhamdulillah we moved on to the 82nd night that we're going through the illustrious and blessed life of the noble companion Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. And I'm on the subsection in which vital clarifications are made before talking about the encounter at Siffin. And the last thing I mentioned, to mention it in brief, is that both Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, they will make dua in salah to give them victory over their opponents. But they never cursed each other. This is so important. You have reports in history mentioning that, where apparently Hazrat Ali cursed Hazrat Muawiyah and his force, and vice versa, but these are not true. And the scholars have pointed out, how can they be true when the Prophet prohibited that you curse? And then I mentioned that Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he never contested Ali over the Khalifat. It was not a matter with regards to the Khilafat. So Hafiz ibn Hazm, rahmatullah alayh, in his work Al-Fasl 4-160, he explained, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu never once denied the merit of Sayyidina Ali or his right to be the Khalif radiyallahu anhu. However, his ijtihad led him to view that priority should be given to rightfully avenging the assassination of Uthman before pledging allegiance to Ali. He also believed he was the one most responsible for dealing with Uthman's murderers. Similarly, Hafiz ibn Hazm said, rahmatullah alayh, Sayyidina Ali fought Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu for his refusal to carry out his orders in the land of Sham. But Muawiyah's ijtihad led him to view that vengeance was to be executed before the pledge of allegiance, as well as considering himself to be the individual tasked with seeking vengeance on behalf of Uthman radiallahu anhu. He was undoubtedly right in his strong call, but mistaken in his precedence of vengeance before the pledge. So this is the quote. So Hafiz ibn Hazm is explaining. He's saying Muawiyah never denied the greatness of Ali. Never. Never denied his right to be the Khalif. He just believed that Uthman's murder needs to be taken care of before he hands over his pledge of allegiance. And Ali, the reason he opposed Muawiyah was because Muawiyah was stopping Ali's orders to be implemented in the land of Sham. And then what did Ibn Hazm say? He said something very interesting. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was right in his strong call, meaning he had a very strong case to avenge Uthman's murder being his cousin. But he was mistaken in his precedence of vengeance before the pledge, meaning he should have given the pledge. But when he says mistaken, meaning this was the less of the better courses. Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah, what did he say? Rahmatullah alayh. In Majmu Fatawa 35-72, Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayh, said, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu never claimed the position of Khalif for himself, never. And no one pledged allegiance to him as the Khalif when he fought Ali radiallahu anhu. He never fought on the basis he was a Khalif, or even he was entitled to be the Khalif. The others acknowledged, and Muawiyah also admitted this to whoever questioned him regarding it. Furthermore, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and his supporters did not hold the view that they should initiate a battle with Ali, nor did they do so. So what did the great Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah say? He said he never claimed to be Khalif. He never contested the Khilafat. These are all lies. And then he said, everybody with him also believed this. Then look what Ibn Taymiyyah says, very interesting. Muawiyah did not believe, radiyallahu, nor did his followers, that they should initiate a battle with Ali. Nor did they do this. So what Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi was saying was, who actually initiated hostilities? It was as Amir al-Mu'mineen. Hazrat Muawiyah never initiated hostilities. Hafiz Ibn Taymiyyah also said, rahmatullah alayhi, in Majmu Fatawa 35-72, each of the differing groups agree on and acknowledge the fact that Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu was not equally entitled to the position of Khalif as long as Ali was, radiyallahu anhu, and that he could not possibly be the Khalif as long as it was possible for Ali to take his position. This is because Ali's merit, knowledge, piety, courage, other virtues were apparent, well known amongst them, just as the case with his brothers, Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So Hafiz Ibn Taymiyyah said, nobody believed, including Muawiyah, that he was worthy to be Khalif as long as Ali was there, because he was certainly most deserving. Sa'id ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, Sayyidina Ali, radiyallahu anhu, was called Amir al-Mu'mineen in Iraq, and Sayyidina Muawiyah, radiyallahu anhu, was called the Amir of Asham. When Ali was martyred, Sayyidina Muawiyah thereupon began to be called Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is in Ibn Asakir, Tabari in his Tariq, 6-76, with a Sahih Janab transmission. So how were they being addressed? So when Ali was alive in Sham, they were calling Muawiyah Amir Muawiyah. They didn't say Amir al-Mu'mineen. There's Amir Muawiyah. That's why that title is famous for him now. Everybody calls him that now, Amir Muawiyah. And of course, Hazrat Ali was called Amir al-Mu'mineen. But when Ali was martyred, then the people said to Muawiyah, Amir al-Mu'mineen. So why would they not? Because obviously Ali is the Khalif. Hafiz ibn Jarir mentioned in the incidents of the year 40 AH, in this year, Sayyidina Muawiyah was given the pledge of allegiance as Khalif in Jerusalem. This is in Tabari in his Tariq, 6-76. So he became the Khalif in the year 40 AH. Finally, Hazrat Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu. Hafiz ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi, he echoed in Al-Bidayah 8-16. When Ali radiyallahu anhu passed away, the people of Asham arose to give their pledge of allegiance to Muawiyah as no dispute remained, radiyallahu anhu. So now there's only one question. How could Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu assume the Khilafat after Ali's martyrdom? So what do I mean by that? They were great companions, far greater than Muawiyah. So why was Muawiyah suddenly now, you know, taking the role as the Khalif after Ali? So, and isn't it also true, Hassan had become the Khalif? So the response is, Hassan became the Khalif. There's no doubt about that. But Muawiyah had not given his pledge. And now hasn't Muawiyah considered himself, for the first time, more qualified to be the Khalif? And I use that word very, you know, carefully. He never considered himself better than the other Sahab. In fact, he said that. In one report, he goes, Abdullah ibn Umar is better than me. Abdullah ibn Amr. But I am the most suited for you. So this is what he means when he became the Khalif. Have you understood? So don't start making these errors. Start thinking he thought he was the next greatest. No, he wasn't. And he himself testified to that. But he thought, now I can stabilize. People are supporting me. I am more suited. And of course, his 20-year reign proved he was more suited for that. Also, the report mentions, in Al-Bidayah 8-16, Hafiz ibn Kathir said, when Ali passed away, radiyallahu anhu, the people of Sham arose to give their pledge of allegiance to Muawiyah, because there was no dispute. Why could Amir Muawiyah, even from the Shariat point, not become the Khalifa, because there's hadith. The Sahaba would never go against the commands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So which narration? In Sahih Muslim, number 4799, in the chapter on leadership, Bayhaqi in his Sunan 8-144, Mishkat, Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu, he relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا بُوِيَأَ لِلْخَلِيفَتَيْنِ فَقْتُلُ الْآخَرَ مِنْهُمَا. If two Khalifs are given allegiance, kill the second one. That's a hadith. No point using logic, no point trying to work it out. What did Rasulullah say? The matter is finished. He said, if two Khalifs are given allegiance, was the divine command, kill the second one, because he's causing friction. Now, why is there a command to kill? Because it's going to cause bloodshed. It's going to cause disunity. Those think about it. It is inconceivable that the noble companions would establish something that would oppose this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unless you believe, like I mentioned yesterday, the Sahaba disobeyed and those who came after became more pious. So the ones who taught us this, do you think they're going to go against this? Hazrat Muawiyah, because I'm the Khalif, of course he's not going to say that. It goes against the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now, again, people ask strange questions. Can you give me a clear proof that Muawiyah was sincere? What sort of a question is that? He's a Sahaba. That's like saying, Ya Allah, you chose somebody, but I need to, you know, settle my heart. Are you questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But anyway, okay. An example of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu's sincerity during the conflict, as if we needed to establish this, can be seen by one and all when the Roman emperor had offered his assistance with his upcoming encounter against Ali. So look at it. The Romans were waiting for this. Heraclius had already kicked the bucket at the time, right? So it's another Roman emperor. Don't know who he was, not interested. He thought, yes, we got a foot in, we'll help one of them, we'll weaken the Muslims. So he thought, no point going to Ali. They know that, you know, he's the middle Mu'minin. We'll go to Muawiyah. He might want our help. So what happened? Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah records this in his Majmu Fatawa, volume 4, page 433. Hafiz ibn Kathir in Al-Bidayah, 7-129. Sayyidina Muawiyah was furious and he wrote back to the emperor, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you do not stop your incursions and return to your land, I will unite with my cousin Ali radiyallahu anhu, and then depose and expel you from your own land and make the wide expanse of the world straighten for you. The Roman emperor was so fearful of Muawiyah's reply that he immediately appealed for armistice and peace. So straight away, as if there was something in his heart, he would have took this opportunity. You understand? If he was after power, get rid of Ali. Get power, jobs are good, as they say. What did he say? He goes, you put one foot into our land, I will join my cousin. And we're going to then take you out of your land. And immediately, the Roman emperor goes, I'm just testing you, you know, yes, yes, no problem. In another report, Sayyidina Muawiyah wrote to the enemy of Islam as follows. If you have made the decision to attack, then I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will make peace with Ali radiyallahu anhu, and I will be in the front lines of the army that Ali dispatches against you. We will destroy the city of Constantinople and uproot your government like carrots and turnips. Recorded in Taj al-Urus 7-208. So he adds a few details here. What does he say? He says, not only will I join Hazrat Ali, I will be in the front line to sort your out. And their capital was Constantinople. And he goes, we will uproot you just like carrots and turnips are taken out of the earth. So what do you learn? He was, of course, more than sincere. But not the shaitans. They wanted to find, and you know, they were so happy there was civil war brewing because they couldn't oppose them on the battlefield. So now let's turn to the details. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, he came to know of Sayyidina Ali's advance radiyallahu anhu, thus he marched out to confront them. The two armies eventually met, encamped at Siffin, and were now ready for the trial of strength. Thus, the battle known as the Battle of Siffin erupted in 37 AH. But initially, it was not a full-scale encounter. So how many years after the Prophet is this encounter taking place? 26. Just 26 years after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the next section entitled, The Fateful Battle of Siffin. The sacred month of Rajab was approaching, in which fighting was prohibited. There was thus suddenly a truce again. Look how beautiful. Even in this critical moment in Islamic history, they were respecting the holy month, Rajab, which we have no respect for, be honest. People don't even know about this month. If that got to that low. So they thought, stop fighting immediately, both sides. During this holy month, the sincere well wishes of the Ummah once again tried to settle the dispute amicably and peacefully, because we got a month. This is our last chance. Let's try and do something. Hopefully, peace can be established. Sadly, the ruffians and mischief mongers reared their ugly heads once more. Thus, the talks came to nothing. So, who are these people? Amongst Hazrat Ali's forces, there were the fish and the fowl. They were the munafiqs. They were the shayateen. They were the sabiites. They were the rawafid. Right? Khawarij. Baba, he had so much on his plate. They didn't want peace. Because if peace is established, the murders of Uthman's heads on the chopping block. So they were always like, you know, disrupting the talks. So even though there was a whole month, it didn't come to any fruition. In short, no negotiation and efforts for peace could be successful. And after the prohibited months for war passed, the 11th, 12th and 1st Islamic months, Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, Muharram, the flare-up started in full force on the 1st of Safar, 37 AH. Note, however, there were small skirmishes between both sides prior to this, and I will mention that, inshallah. So what happened? Month of Rajab passes. Then you got the Zulqa'dah, the Zulhijjah, Muharram, three consecutive holy months, which are a few months down the line. And of course, nothing happened in those months. But once Muharram passed, 37 AH, 1st of Safar, the flare-up started. However, there were small skirmishes which took place first. So let's go through it. The first encounter, access to the vital water source. The forces of Ali radiallahu anhu arrived at Siffin, where Muawiyah had set up a military camp radiallahu anhu. It is related by Sheikh Abdul Hamid Ali in Khilafah Ali ibn Abi Talib, page 196. The Amir al-Mu'mineen could not find a level and broad area that would suffice the army. Thus, he encamped in a somewhat rugged spot where most of the land had small hidden stones. So what's happened? Who's got to the battlefront first? Muawiyah. So he's got the best like, you know, spot, as they say. Hazrat Ali's force had to encamp in a rugged spot. You know, there's pebbles and it's not very comfortable. It is further related in Ibn Abi Shaybah in his Al-Musannaf 15-24 with a Hassan chain that Sayyidina Muawiyah's refusal of water surprised the Iraqi army. Some of them thus complained to their own Amir Ali. So what happened? According to one report, the one in charge of the water source was Muawiyah. And he actually, according to this report, he refused to give water to Ali's forces. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu thereupon sent a message to Al-Ash'ath ibn Qais, rahmatullah alayh, who went out with 2,000 men and an encounter took place. So Ali had no choice but to send a small group to try and get one of the water sources. So 2,000 men under the leadership of Al-Ash'ath went forward. This was the first encounter between the two sides, and Al-Ash'ath gained victory and occupied the water source. So this is one version of history. Muawiyah did not give water. Hazrat Ali, the forces complained to him. He sent 2,000 men out. A skirmish took place. They managed to get the water source. However, according to another report, there was no skirmish. Hafiz Zahabi records in his Sir 2-41, Al-Ash'ath ibn Qais came to Hazrat Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu and said, O Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, for the sake of the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you kill the people of Iraq, who will be left to protect the land and the women? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he recited the verse to Muawiyah, Surah Al-Hujarat, Surah 49, verse 9. And if two parties amongst the believers fall into fight, make peace between them both. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu thereupon asked, what is your need? Ash'ath responded, vacate a path between ourselves and the water. Hazrat Muawiyah then said to Abu A'war, rahmatullah alayh, vacate the area between our brothers and the water. So let's look at this. So in this report, Al-Ash'ath went forward. He actually spoke to Hazrat Muawiyah and he said, why are you doing this? If you are intent upon killing the people of Iraq, who will defend the Muslims there? And then he recited the verse. He goes, you are well aware of this verse. If two parties of the believers fall into fighting, make peace. So Hazrat Muawiyah then said to Al-Ash'ath, what's your need? He goes, give us a path to the water source. So Hazrat Muawiyah said to one of his men, give them the path between our brothers and the water. This version of events seems more plausible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So notice what's happening. You're getting different versions. So what can you do with history? You can easily give your own version of events. Muawiyah didn't give water to the opposing. Look at his hatred for the people of the Muslims on Hazrat Ali's side. It's in the books, it's in the books. But then you say, but isn't it also mentioned that he did eventually vacate a path through the water source? And we always take those versions which are more in line with the profile of the companions. So this is what most scholars say is preferable. There wasn't actually a skirmish. So question, just to finish. Why was Hazrat Muawiyah then not allowing water? Okay, he allowed water to be given eventually. So you can say this was tactics now, because you're on the battlefield. You have to weaken your opposing forces. But when the messenger came from Hazrat Ali's side, he retracted that. He goes, give water to our brothers. In other words, we will do this. So note again, it's a very strange encounter. Why? Because Muslims are fighting each other. Romans came, no chance, man. Not going to happen. But because they're Muslims, Hazrat Muawiyah obviously gave way to them. So all I mentioned today was clarification with regards to another important point. Hazrat Ali and Muawiyah never cursed each other. Never. And I should have mentioned, I'll mention it again. The reports which mentioned that Ali cursed Muawiyah and vice versa includes the arch liar in the chain, Abu Makhnaf. Lut ibn Yahya, the one who's a great liar, the Qazzab, he's changed Islamic history. And the Rawafid always quote him because he's a great saintly soul and this, that, and the other. And notice, wherever there's corruption, you find his name. So he's mentioned in the chain. So how can he accept those reports? It's nothing but lies, targeting the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. So there was no cursing. But they did make dua for victory against their counterparts. And then I mentioned, Hazrat Muawiyah never contested the Khilafah. This is another myth, a lie that the Rawafid propagate. He was wanting the Khilafah. He manipulated his way. It was not after that in the least, never. And the scholars of eminence have mentioned this is nothing but a lie. He was called Amir Muawiyah by the Muslims in Sham. Amir al-Mu'mineen was called Amir al-Mu'mineen. Then when Amir al-Mu'mineen was martyred, only then was he called Amir al-Mu'mineen Muawiyah. But this does not mean he accepted he was the greatest, but he was the most suited to become the Khalif. And then I mentioned, of course, now the details with regards to the Battle of Siffin. I'm sure we'll spend a few sessions on, inshallah. Are there any questions we'll not ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات والواصل بالحق والواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم